Well, doorstepping used to be a last resort, but not with the strict rules that there are now. You'd only doorstep someone if you couldn't get an interview any other way. I believe it was used quite often for dramatic effect. And so I think those the rules that came out afterwards regarding the rules, you had to have permission from a senior member of the broadcasting organisation. In fact, before that, I think it was from the ITC, but it was a senior member from the broadcasting organisation, both prior to doing it and prior to transmitting it. And the same, by the way, on secret cameras.
You have to get permission to do hidden camera work.
You did before, and I told you things changed regarding the IBA.
Well, I presume, if anything, you have to get more approvals than less, don't you?
But not from outside. It's within the organisation. So, for example, a secret filming or a doorstep has to be sanctioned by the most senior editorial figure in the organisation. You're bound by the same conditions. A doorstep is only allowed in the UK if a request for interview has been refused, but it's deemed in the public interest and editorial approval has been given at the highest level. If you can't get the interview in any other way and the person is being avoiding you, yes, I think it's absolutely valid. I think, I can't, there's nothing I have seen recently that makes me want to sit up and say, that's biased. Oh, how do they, that should be balanced. And I think, there is, I said on the outset, that impartiality is like perfection. We strive for it, but we don't always achieve it. We're all influenced by our beliefs, experiences and attitudes and the society and culture in which we're brought up. So you've got to try and apply professional standards of objectivity if you can. So you've got to recognise bias and try and compensate for it. As I said before, then there are two sides to every story. You've got to stand back, if possible, and try and view both arguments, and then take out the key points, produce as balanced and impartial picture as possible, and in the time available. Lack of time, more so in news, and possibly also with the 24-hour news, rolling news, because it's an insatiable beast, needs feeding, and both, I think, Sky, I don't think BBC, I don't think, and one other broadcaster got Amanda Knox's verdict wrong recently. And then something, obviously, that they've realised over the time is you've got to, even within 24-hour continuous news, you've got to be aware of the risk of something that's immediate and which isn't fully considered or fully investigated. I've always said that journalism is better than working for a living. It's been a fantastic job. You're given privileged access, as I said before, to important people. You're taken to events and you're allowed to ask impertinent questions of so-called important people. Fantastic privilege, but you should remember you're doing that on behalf of the people who are not there, i.e. your readers or your viewers. So that is paramount. And if you lose the trust of your viewers, then they'll go elsewhere. And it's interesting that ITV has got a code of conduct, which they introduced probably about a year after I left, following all of the issues about premium phone rates, competitions and votes, and it's about trust. And it's interesting, you get it on the web, and it also talks about personal behaviour, or has their diversity and their fairness at work, and it's also about taking gifts, and even journalists should be recording. If you're invited to a football match, you should be recording that. How might that influence you? You go back 20 years, no one ever thought of that. But that's been introduced in a published, and I say it's available on the website, the ITV Code of Conduct for its staff. BBC, of course, have